Biden's mandates continue to lose steam. Daryl Brooks' family speaks out, and Jussie Smollett gets exposed. Well, I guess even more than he already was. I'm William Hall, and this is The William Hall Show. All right, welcome back to the show. So let's go ahead and jump right into things here. Not a ton of things really going on specifically over the weekend, but just a few things that kind of jumped out really is things to follow, things to actually pay attention to as we are going into the Christmas season. But really, let's focus a little bit on what Joe Biden's doing. So the first report here that we have is actually dealing with the actual Biden mandates for the vaccine. Now, we already know many of the CMS, for example, and the OSHA mandates have entirely pretty much ended. I mean, they've been stayed in court. They're unconstitutional. It's obvious. These new ones actually here are specifically for the federal contractors. Okay, so these people that have contracts with the government, whatever they're doing, are now actually going to be exempt from having to be forced to take the vaccine as well. And this comes in actually from a judge that Trump appointed. I don't know if many of you remember, but Trump was, I think he said he appointed more judges than any other president or something like that. But he appointed like well over 350 conservative judges. And I think we're starting to see the actual benefits of that. So even though you don't have Trump in the White House, you do have the decisions that he made actually helping us out now, well after the fact. So the lawsuit was brought by South Carolina Attorney General Alan Wilson and Henry McMaster, along with other Republican attorney generals, arguing that Biden's vaccine mandate violated the 10th Amendment, which of course it does. And so basically as a result of this, they're saying that it's obviously an abuse of power and the rule of law has prevailed as one of the statements that they're making here. But they're really just saying this is the way that it should have been. There's no reason why we need to have these vaccine mandates for everybody. So what you're seeing is the dominoes are starting to fall. Really, they've almost all have fallen at this point. Nothing that Biden has tried to do with his vaccine has gone through. I mean, the threat was there, but then all of a sudden it's gone because you have judges in place, conservative judges. You have people like Ron DeSantis, other Republican senators and governors that actually care enough to do something about this that are ending these. And that's what really matters. So at the end of the day, this to me is proof that the non-compliance is working. This is why we shouldn't just pay attention to what they tell us to do and just go along with the flow just because we think that that might be the best course of action. Unlike what the liberals love to do, they love to be told what to do. We don't want to be exactly told what to do because we live in a free country to at least offer people the option, but Democrats don't want any options. So we're seeing that fail over and over again. And I don't care what they say, what the liberals are trying to conjure up in their statements about this. To me, really what this says is that the non-compliance is the key. We just don't need to do it. If you don't do it, they can't do anything about it. And that's really the goal here. So funnily enough, you actually have this store that opened up very recently in Massachusetts. By the way, Blue State, it's the Let's Go Brandon store. Many of you already know what that statement is alluding to there. But I just found this pretty funny because what you're seeing is that even in a blue state like Massachusetts, people are not very fond of Biden, obviously. And this is pretty awesome to actually see that. So just a little tidbit there. But there's actually a new report out now that's focusing on the ICE and the border and everything. So this is actually talking about the deportations that have taken place, which, of course, surprise, surprise, there's really not any that are taking place almost at all. So actually 90%, the deportations have dropped by 90% under Biden's administration. So basically, if you're in this country and whether you had a court date or not, whether you no-showed to the court date, really doesn't matter. You are not going to be deported, pretty much. There's a very good chance that nothing is going to actually happen at all. And this is all a part of Biden's plan. This is all a part of the Democrats' plan, the people that are controlling what Biden's doing. Honestly, he can't really deport people because if he does, the Democrats, the far left, are going to rail against him. He knows that. We all know that that's what would normally happen. So new data was revealed in a report released on Monday by the Center for Immigration Studies. And the group said that they have the number of actual people that have been deported has collapsed to the lowest level in almost 30 years. So this is the worst it's been. I mean, 30 years is a pretty long time. So really, this is a record here. Record low deportation right now. So under the policies imposed by the Biden administration, removals have dropped by 80% since last year's low point during the pandemic lockdown and by 90% since 2019. So really what this is all about is that they're keeping these people here. This is a problem. This is a problem because we know the border is insecure. We know they pretty much have it wide open. But what was I just talking about? Biden wants to enforce these mandates. How are you going to enforce mandates when you're letting all of these immigrants into the country with no COVID test and then not even getting rid of them? You're not putting them back. The problem is that people oftentimes forget how much violence and rape and other things take place at the border simply because the United States allows it to happen. That's why we were shutting it down. It was about protecting the lives of American citizens, protecting the lives of also the immigrants as well that are oftentimes beaten and everything else that are coming from Mexico. There's a reason why it needs to be handled. It isn't just because people are just simply coming into the country. There's a ton more reasons for that. But this is the problem that you're seeing right now with the Biden administration. They are simply wanted to let everybody in and then complaining and saying that you must also take your vaccine. It doesn't line up. It really doesn't. Very few people are actually pointing this out right now, but I think that the main goal, the main thing to really focus on here is that they are simply telling everybody that this border issue, we're not going to do anything about the border. We're going to have an open border. We're not going to deport people. It doesn't matter what's going on, but we're going to tell you how to live. We're going to tell you what to do. We won't tell what the people from Mexico, we're not going to tell them what to do, but we're going to tell you what to do, what your children need to do. All of that stuff doesn't go hand in hand. It's simply just the soft approach that we've seen from other Democrats in the past where they just don't care. It's just, hey, just let them in, do whatever they want to do, and we'll pretend like it's not a crisis. We'll pretend like it's not a big deal. You remember the people that were coming in from Haiti? I mean, there's just a ton of things that you're seeing with the Biden administration that doesn't add up. But yet, then, as I reported on in the last show, he decides to all of a sudden ban travel from South Africa and some of these other countries. How does that work? I mean, if somebody comes here with Omicron, are you going to actually deport them? Are you going to do any of that? Or are you just going to let them run around freely and do whatever like you do with the people from Mexico? That's what I'd like to know. Many of you actually remember the story of the Christmas parade attack. This was when the black guy, Daryl Brooks, drove his car and killed several people, injured over 40 people there. Children included, by the way. Some are actually still recovering. So although this story is being ignored by the media, we're not going to forget it. You shouldn't forget it either, because people and kids right now are still recovering from debilitating injuries simply because of this guy here. Now, his family decided that they were going to go ahead and release a statement. So I'll go ahead and read a bit of the statement to you. Now, this is just the family's letter to kind of explain the context or whatever it is behind everything that was going on. So the letter reads, the Lord spoke to my heart this morning and said to me, it is time to speak. I've been contacted by numerous media outlets for a statement and have until now been reluctant to speak because of the way my family and I have been attacked in the media, and whatever I say will be taken out of context. It's my hope that what I am about to say does not get edited and will be made public in its entirety. So they go on to say, we, the family of Daryl Brooks, want to give our condolences to the families of those who lost their lives were tragically taken, and all those who were injured, as well as the community in Waukesha. We are deeply saddened and our hearts are torn to pieces what happened on a day set aside for a community to come together and celebrate. What was meant to be a joyous day became a day of tragedy and headache, a day we wish with all our heart would have never happened. Daryl did not come from a bad family like many people have said. He came from a loving Christian family, is the grandson of ministers. Daryl has suffered from mental health issues since he was very young. In those years, he received counseling and was on medication. When he became an adult, a decision was made that he no longer suffered from a mental illness. That decision left him with no insurance or financial means to pay for medication and determine necessary counseling. Mental illness is not cheap to treat, but what's more important, dollars spent on treatment and recourse or lives lost. Instead of offering help and resources to combat the problem of the jail cell was given over and over again. When mental illness is not properly treated, the person becomes sicker and sicker, and it does not go away once that person becomes an adult. Now, of course, they go on to say a little bit saying, well, we're not trying to offer a bunch of excuses, but you just offered a bunch of excuses, right? It's like those people that say, well, no offense, but of course they just tried to offend you, right? Like, the point is that this is an excuse. It's an excuse, it's a justification, it's a way for them to take the blame away from what this guy was doing. The fact is that this would all be well and good, and I would maybe even slightly believe in any of this, if we didn't see this guy making black nationalist posts on social media, if we didn't see this guy talking about killing white people, if he didn't specifically target something where he was killing white people. I'm not sure what part of mental illness makes you a direct racist towards a specific color of people with a specific color of skin. I don't understand how that makes sense. This guy was clearly an activist, and it was obvious based off of his social media. So for them to be talking about this is absolutely ridiculous. I don't believe or buy any of this stuff. No, he didn't come from a bad family. Yeah, sure. Nobody is going to just acknowledge that he came from a bad family. I mean, think about it. What person in the right mind, or what person in this situation would be like, yeah, he came from a terrible family. That's including me. His father was terrible. His grandfather was a terrible person. They're never going to admit that. They're going to tell you, oh, Christian family. Sure. That's exactly what it was. Because it doesn't matter. Whatever it is, the point is that this guy killed a bunch of people, and they're trying to play the victim card to say that it's not really his fault, that it's something else that caused this to happen. I'm not buying it with this guy. We have too much evidence to show his history in the past of what he was already saying that led up to this. We have too much evidence. There's no way that I'm going to believe something from the family where they're really just trying to say, not my son, he's so good. Yeah, I'm not going to fall for that stuff. But speaking of people that are actually or have committed crimes, many of you also remember Jussie Smollett, the famous hoax about him being in the streets of Chicago at like 2 a.m. in the morning, and then saying that some people were saying this is MAGA country, some white guys were trying to attack him. It didn't make any sense. It was the most obvious hoax. It really the hoax that started them all, right? Like, so many came after that, almost like copycat hoaxes, but he's actually in trial right now. So if you remember, there were the two brothers from Nigeria that he had actually paid to do this, to set all of this up, to buy the materials. They literally had the checks and everything that he wrote to them. So he paid the brothers more than $3,000 to help him pull this whole thing off in January. So what was actually the real kind of handling or the real story behind all of this is where the brothers, the Nigerian brothers, Dario brothers, something like that, testified that Smollett's target audience was the fake news. It was the media the entire time that Jussie Smollett was actually going after. So in the actual portion here, they're basically saying that what they're getting at is that he knew that the media was going to fall for this. He knew that the media was going to go ahead and fall for this hook, line, and sinker, because he knows that the media was itching for something that would show that there was all this racism in the country. He knew that. So what you have here is this guy. Remember, this is I don't think he's even acting anymore, especially after all of this. But this was a guy that was getting paid $65,000 a day to do whatever that show was, and knew for a fact that if he lied, if he staged a hate crime, that the media would immediately believe him with zero evidence. That's what we're seeing here. And I mean, so obviously this guy lied to police officers. So, you know, he's dealing with all of these issues now. But the point is that he knew that the media would fall for this. I mean, we knew that they would probably fall for it, but he knew this as well. And he was using the media to try and capture all of what was actually going on. It's just absolutely crazy what's going on here. I'll definitely keep you updated if we get any more updates on things that take place from this particular trial. Now, another trial that's actually going on right now, which I briefly mentioned on the last show, is dealing with Ghislaine Maxwell. So Ghislaine Maxwell, this is the woman that was helping out Jeffrey Epstein recruit women, but now we found out that there was a lot more going on than meets the eye than what we previously knew. So here's a few things that came out from the trial that are new, that are things that are, or at least more explained, so that we understand the context of what's going on. For those that are trying to track the trial, there's actually a Twitter account that I think they're on Getter to called Trial Tracker or something like that. And they're basically kind of going through talking about some of the key moments in there. And of course, it's too many to obviously mention, but some of the actual big things. So first of all, she was not just his helper or his right-hand woman. He was actually, she was in a relationship with Jeffrey Epstein. So the romantic relationship with him, according to a document dated back in October 2002, found on a hard drive, said the couple had been together for 11 years, as well as stating that they were rarely apart and were almost always seen together. So, and there were also, you know, pictures of them together and everything else like that. Also, so the next thing is that Maxwell had a long list of rules that employees had to follow, one of which was remember that you see nothing, hear nothing, say nothing, except to answer a question directed at you. It's almost like this, these like crazy movies or something where it's like, you know, these people that are a part of something evil, maybe in some horror film, and the people that are a part of that are basically told, I don't know, actually, you know, it reminds me a bit of Squid Game. If any of you have seen that show, if you haven't, I recommend that you watch it. It's actually really good. But you have these people that work for this corporation that's obviously putting these people in these games that are basically killing them. And effectively, those people are told not to speak unless spoken to directly. They wear these masks to cover up their identity. I mean, I wouldn't be surprised if we saw something very similar to that on Epstein's Island, where you have the people that are helping out to basically say, what it's kind of like what happens on Epstein's Island stays on Epstein's Island, right? That's the way they want to basically pin this as. So another part of this is that three women have called to testify so far. They all use pseudonyms. So Kate described how she was convinced by Maxwell to give Epstein sexual massages. So after Maxwell apparently decided Kate couldn't keep up with the oral sex demands, which she was also requested to do that, she requested Kate to recruit other young girls as well. So it was kind of like this line of recruitment, not just from Epstein to Maxwell, but from Maxwell to this girl and from that girl to even other more girls involved in that as well. So Jane, once again, these are just pseudonyms, names, testified that Maxwell herself participated in the sexual activities, either watching or actively engaging. They said that the abuse started as soon as she was 14 years old. So there's a lot of crazy stuff here. Obviously the abuse escalated to sex and group sex, all this stuff. It's just absolutely insane that this was even allowed to happen. So the third girl, another victim, stated that she had gone to Epstein's house over 100 times, multiple times per week from the ages of 14 to 18, all underage. During these visits, she would give him a massage, masturbating, all this stuff. Guys, this is absolutely disgusting. The fact that this was going on. And what's even crazier are the people that were involved or on the flight logs. Like the Clintons, like many, many, many people in Hollywood, folks. You know, everybody on Twitter wants to complain or say, oh, well, Trump took a photo with him. If you remember, because the liberals want to lie about this. They love to lie about the actual facts of this situation. Trump had him at the, and it wasn't even specifically him. It was a bunch of people that were at this party at the Mar-a-Lago in Florida. And there were everybody that was anybody that was rich or whoever it was there. This was before any of this stuff had come out at all. Now, once Trump had learned that Epstein had been tried for these different types of child abuse and molestation, all those things like that. Now, this was because this went back pretty far, where he basically got off on those things and continued to do what he wanted to do scotch-free. I don't even think he spent much time in jail, if really any at all, maybe a couple years or whatever. He was back doing his thing. When Trump found out about that, he banned him from every single event at any of his locations or anywhere else where he was a part of it. That's what Trump did. Now, the rest of these people, like Clinton, well, if you remember, Jeffrey Epstein had a picture of Clinton wearing a blue dress and heels in his office. So the liberals that are sitting there wanting to post these little pictures of Trump with Epstein, the two that they can find with when it was before any of this stuff even happened, explain the ones with Clinton, right? in his office, in a painting, in a dress with heels. Please, I'd love, and I'm not talking about Hillary Clinton, okay? So that's just absolutely insane that you have these people doing this on Twitter, but just keep in mind that this is something that is absolutely real, absolutely happening, and I can assure you that the media is going to do everything in their power to try and cover this up, because it involves a lot of their very, very, very close friends, a lot of their very important people that they love so much in Hollywood that can do no wrong in Hollywood. Trust me, it's all of these liberal elites that are caught on these flights with Epstein. I'm telling you right now, they don't want any of this to happen at all. So I'll definitely continue to keep you updated on this trial as well. So there's actually been another really big victory in Florida, specifically with one of the health organizations, Advent Health. They were obviously mandating the vaccine like many other places as well were doing. And they recently came out and said that they are going to get rid of that. So DeSantis, of course, is obviously loving this. This is a good thing. I'm loving this because the point is that we need more of these health organizations to lift off and say, you know what, we're done. We're not going to do that anymore. So DeSantis said in a statement, "We welcome Advent Health's decision to comply with state law to protect Floridians' jobs, to ensure our state's healthcare system can work functionally and smoothly." And that's really the crux of the statement, is that if this vaccine mandate went through, it wouldn't work functionally and it wouldn't work smoothly, because you'd be losing employees like crazy. You'd be suspending people like crazy and pretending as if you care about healthcare workers. So this is one of the biggest ones. Like I said, this is 83,000 people actually that are employed with this organization. So good to see them actually going and pushing back against these mandates as well. Speaking of mandates, though, and just vaccines in general, one of the interesting things that takes place, as you know, with the Omicron variant, is that people came over to the United States, and obviously it's spreading a bit. I've already mentioned, of course, that the Omicron variant, like all variants, are going to be less deadly. Maybe they're more infectious, but they're always going to be less deadly. That's how infections, or sorry, these variants work and mutations work with viruses. Well, Trevor Noah, surprisingly, Trevor Noah is the liberal guy on The Daily Show that oftentimes has the worst takes on planet Earth about pretty much everything, actually has a little bit of common sense when approaching the opinions of people on the new vaccine that's probably, or booster, or whatever you want to call it, that's going to need to be there for this Omicron variant. Check this video clip out here of Trevor Noah talking about it.
On the one hand, almost all the Omicron cases have been mild so far. But on the other hand, the guy who stands to gain millions of dollars from new vaccines says we need new vaccines. If we don't make a new vaccine, this disease could be with us forever. Sorry, I was thinking of something else. Now look, I'm not saying that the CEO of Moderna is lying. I'm not saying that at all. I'm just saying, I don't think he's the most objective source on this topic. You know, I'll wait to hear what neutral experts say about a new vaccine. People like public health officials or the CEO of Johnson & Johnson. I mean, he's got nothing to gain because nobody's going to buy his vaccines either way. So I trust him.
Now, of course, the liberals that saw this video and have commented on this on Twitter and on YouTube are extremely upset, because they're saying, well, it sounds like you're being vaccine hesitant now, or anti-vax, Trevor. I mean, what's going on here? Listen, it's amazing to me that somebody simply questioning, just simply questioning and using common sense and deduction to kind of figure out what is it, or should we really care what certain people say on a certain topic when it's in their best interest to tell us what works best for them? Shouldn't we maybe be a little bit skeptical of what they're saying on this particular thing, right? Like, you would think that would be something that somebody with common sense would think, and the left is calling you anti-vax for it. That's where we're at right now. Simply questioning, simply wondering, simply asking common sense questions. That if this is off limits, what is the point of even being a Democrat at this point? I mean, what are you doing, right? What is the point of even living your life if every single second of the day you must say, you know what, I must go along with this, and that, or else I who knows what's going to happen. I must go along with these things, and I would never question anything. I don't care what it is. Like, The point is that you should be able to use common sense to determine things that are going on in this world and the vaccines and who's making statements on what. And even though he's saying, well, we should listen to public health officials, well, those public health officials also have a very good incentive to tell you that you should do it. I mean, Fauci never once said anything bad about the vaccines or needing masks, except for before it was needed and the Democrats were always talking about it. Right? Fauci was the one that in the emails before all of this really even was really getting crazy, was the one saying, well, you really don't really need a mask. I mean, it might make you feel good, but it really doesn't do much of anything. Well, what happened to that? Now he's been nonstop this way. You don't think that maybe somebody's paying him to do that or to stay in the line or telling him what his general messaging should be? That's what I think people need to be focused on with this whole Trevor Noah thing. It's not about him being anti-vax. He's still a crazy liberal. It's just that he's using some common sense, something that people should be doing more often. Let's not just assume that this guy is right about needing a certain vaccine. I mean, most liberals haven't even focused on the mere fact that the companies are standing to gain anything from this. Most of them have not even mentioned that. The mere fact that the companies are getting paid billions of dollars to produce these vaccines should cause for most people to kind of say, maybe we should just kind of be a little bit aware that it's in the best interest of these companies to keep the vaccine going forever, to keep boosters going forever. It makes them the most money. Maybe we should be asking those questions. I did. Now Trevor Noah has to call him anti-vax. So that's pretty much the way that goes with the liberals, and I'm not surprised with any of that whatsoever. So on Twitter, this episode's liberal of TikTok isn't actually a video specifically, but it is this person that posted something on the website. And it's this teacher, supposedly a teacher, okay, that obviously a liberal, basically saying that she's perfectly fine with people that are not taking the vaccine to die or that they should basically just kill themselves or be shot. That's basically what's going on here. So this is Molly Mumau, however you pronounce her last name. So she says, screw this guy and screw them all who are all about hiding behind religious exemptions because they don't want anybody to tell them what to do. People tell you what to do all the time and you do it. This is such BS. He and his ilk deserve whatever comes their way, including losing jobs, getting sick, and perhaps dying from this virus. But in the meantime, he's going to put all the people around him in danger. I don't know why the GOP doesn't take those guns they profess to love so much and start shooting all their constituents who think this way. It would be quicker and ultimately safer than putting me and my friends and family at risk. So basically, you know what? Let's go ahead and shoot all the people that don't want to get the vaccine because that's better than you risking the lives, whatever she thinks, of my family and friends. That's literally what they're saying here. This is a teacher. Obviously, they're a liberal. They've got Team Pfizer in their stupid bio. It's absolutely ridiculous. Apparently, she's also a board member of the National Education Association. So, yeah, folks, this is what you have to look forward to right there. These are the people educating your kids. These are the people that feel this way. They have to put this stuff out on social media. Remember, any good teacher, you don't know their political leanings because they're actually focused on teaching. These people are putting this stuff out publicly, and they don't care. And imagine being in the having the audacity to just put this out there and know you're not going to get banned, know you're not probably going to get any repercussions because of it. What is that to me? That's liberal privilege right here. Because conservatives don't have that same objectivity, the ability to do that. Because the second we say something about a vaccine being bad or whatever it is, we just get banned from social media. So that's pretty fun, right? Not really. But that's the difference that you see. These people don't care about your lives. They hate you. They hate everything you stand for. They don't believe that you have the freedom to do with what your health you want to do. But they're the same people that are telling you that, oh, it's my body, my choice when it comes down to abortion. I mean, you know that this person also is probably pro-choice, pro-abortion. You know that to be the case. But yet, they want to force you to have some type of medication. They want to force you to take these vaccines, these booster shots, because it makes them feel good. Everything that Democrats like or are interested in or do is all about whatever makes them feel good. It doesn't have to actually work. Most of the time it doesn't. It's just whatever affects their feelings, because that's all they care about are feelings. They don't care about the facts. They don't care about what's actually happening. They don't care about the numbers, the actual science, even though they call themselves the party of science. That's a complete lie. They don't care about the science or any of that stuff. They care about whatever makes them feel a certain way. And for them, that means pushing the vaccine and only the vaccine. No treatments, no nothing else. If you're not willing to take the vaccine, go shoot yourself. Somebody should shoot you instead, because that's how they think of you. That's how they see you. That's how they see every single one of you. So don't forget that these people are basically willing to just basically say, you know what, you need to die, or I'm okay with you dying, or I'm okay with somebody shooting you, because you simply chose not to do something with your health. Insane. Absolutely insane that these people have these jobs. I'm hoping that at some point she gets put on some kind of leave. We'll see what happens. But I'll let you know about that. Either way, that's all I have for you on this episode. I thank you for watching or listening to this one. Remember that if you are listening to this on Apple Podcasts, leave a review on there, as it does help the show out. But with that being said, I'll see you on the next one.